Blog Talk Radio.
Have you heard of passive aerobics? Now you can build muscle, burn fat, and enjoy the benefits of jogging a mile and a half in just 10 minutes. That's right, you can accomplish your fitness goals easier than you've ever dreamed. With the state-of-the-art Vibe Pro and Qi Pro fitness machines that are lightweight and small enough for any home or office, if you sit most of the day and want a great workout, or if you suffer from tight muscles from your exercise program, you will benefit from these body-balancing machines that the Hollywood stars use to feel and look great. For the best you, go to besthealthgallery.com. Best products, prices, and service, that's besthealthgallery.com. Or call 480-888-6548. 480-888-6548. Build muscle, burn fat, and enjoy the benefits of jogging a mile and a half in just 10 minutes. Call 480-888-6548. besthealthgallery.com.
Be a part of the next big technological breakthrough. Hi, I'm William Alec, President and CEO of Aurora Tech, a.k.a. Dr. Houdini on Vortex Network News. Free energy and anti-gravity technology now being developed at Aurora Tech will change the way we live and bring about a golden age for all mankind. Our motto, simply the most advanced technology on planet Earth. To get involved with great opportunities at Aurora Tech, please check out our website, auroratech.us. That's auroratech.us. auroratech.us. And call 480-474-4388. 480-474-4388. Simply the most advanced technology on planet Earth. auroratech.us.
Latest in conspiracies, cover-ups, suppressed technology, UFOs, and extraterrestrial contact. Vortex Network News with your hosts, Aurora Light and Dr. Houdini.
Live from the launching pad in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, it's Vortex Network News. I'm your host, Aurora Light, and here with me in the studio is the one and only Dr. Houdini.
Hey, good evening, Aurora.
Did you just turn on my mic in the middle of it?
No, your mic is on.
Okay, that's good. All right, so Happy New Year, everyone. 2017, rolling right in. And now you know what that means? That means it's going to be a very good year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. 17 is my magic little number that no one knows about. Yes. Yes. The one and the seven. Yes. That brings about a lot of change. So we will see a lot of change this year.
Great.
It's going to be exciting.
Oh, it's going to be absolutely awesome, Aurora. Just awesome.
Well, the 17 is the one which is man, and the seven which is his psychic abilities and spiritual abilities, and then you roll those together and you get the eight, which is as above, so below. It's one of those numbers like the six, which is as above, so below as well. And the eight means the continuous onflow of energy, prosperity, abundance. The Chinese revere the number eight and try and put it in their phone numbers all the time.
Really?
As much as they can, yes.
Huh.
That's why my phone number, 480-888-6548, is a master number. Absolutely master.
Great.
So the 17 is much more powerful than most numerologists give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a lot of great changes. It can create a lot of great changes.
Great, Aurora. Sounds incredible. Well, I've been doing a lot of work in the factory here. Getting our factory going here, folks. We're going to be cranking out product. That means that I'll be getting the website up soon. Been working on the product for that. And we're mainly focused on the bioengineering of the fast-grow technology.
Yes, it's very exciting. I can't wait to get this product out to the growers.
Yes. God, you ought to see my plants now. I mean, I have some tomato plants. The stalks are 6 feet tall compared to about 3.5 feet tall with the normal growing technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing incredible accelerated plant growth.
Amazing.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. And we're also working on our bioenergy pads. So we're going to be introducing both those products here very soon. Going to
well,
have that up on the
website. Our bioenergy vitality pads.
Yes.
And they charge up.
Yes, they do. You know, I feel a definite effect from them.
I wish I had one here right now.
Yeah.
Where is it? To grab my vitality pad.
I think the last I saw it, you had it on your car seat.
Yes.
Is it there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's running.
I mean, you can put this pad on your car seat, or you can get one for your office chair. It's great for those two applications. You can also get one for your pet. When your pet sleeps at night in his bed, you're going to have a little bioenergy pad just for your pet. And then we're also coming out with a water dispenser that's going to be treated with our technology. So this is going to be incredible too. I mean, did you know, Aurora, that Moses in the Bible was an alchemist? Oh, yeah.
I've been hearing about that from you lately.
Yes. You know, when I first heard about it, I think it was William Henry that mentioned it in a video. I'm going, is that right? Because, you know, I never hear anyone else talking about this. And I go look up the chapter and verse, and I'm going, oh, my God, there it is. Moses. Well, you know, he was a high priest from Egypt. And when he became a high priest, he was introduced to all the, you know, their esoteric religions and their technology. You know, the Egyptians were very advanced with their technology. And then I come to find out that right there, it's plainly stated in the Bible, and I believe it's chapter 23, verse 20, where he talks about white powder gold.
Are you talking about the book of Genesis?
No, this is the book of Moses, the Exodus.
Okay.
The book of Exodus in the KJV, the King James Version. You can look it up yourself, folks. I believe it's chapter 23. And well, that whole chapter gets into it where the people rebelled. Moses went to the mountaintop to get the Ten Commandments. He comes down and then he find out that, his people have strayed off the path, right? And they built this idol of this golden calf, right? Well, that's generally where scholars stop at that point. And they generally don't go any further than that. But when you continue reading in that chapter, it's absolutely amazing.
Well, when you're, as a scholar who stopped there, it's more like MGM stopped there when they made the Ten Commandments.
You know, with Charlton Heston. Yeah. MGM stopped at that point. Didn't take it to the next logical conclusion that the alchemy that Moses knew back then, and it was very advanced. The Egyptian technology back then was very, very advanced. And Moses was a high priest, and he knew all these techniques, especially for making white powder gold. And today we call that ORME gold, orbitally rearranged monatomic elements. And in this case, applies to gold. And it's described specifically in the Bible in verse 20 as a white powder gold. Now, gold in its particulate form is golden color, gold dust, for example. So he wasn't making gold dust for the people to consume. Oh, no, he wasn't making that at all. He was making what's described as a white powder, which is an alchemy. Okay, it's an alchemy of gold in this ormy gold configuration. It requires very sophisticated technology even to make white powder gold. So this is technology that they had back then and passed down through the ages, you know, through through all these high priests that knew alchemy. And so Moses had this knowledge, and it's specifically described in the King James Version, right? And the key verse is, of course, verse 20, where they specifically mention the white powder gold. And it requires exotic technology to make this special gold. And what's interesting is that he forced his people, when he took the calf, he applied his technology to that, to break down that that gold.
When he took the golden calf, you mean?
Yeah, he took the golden calf, okay, applied his technology to it and made this white powder gold out of it. All right. He made his people consume that gold, which was mixed in water. It says that it was mixed with water, and he forced them to consume that gold, that white powder gold.
And of course, now I know people who have been selling Ormi gold for the last 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, traveling around the United States and selling it, doing little lectures and seminars on it and stuff like that. So I've heard quite a bit on this subject.
Right.
And it is described as being useful in spirituality and metaphysics.
Yes.
Because it triggers, they say, heals the pineal gland,
mm-hmm.
which is the gland that, you know, helps for the psychic abilities, they say.
Mm-hmm.
And allows you to get really plugged into the Godhead.
Right.
And so that's supposed to be the connecting part of the human physiology. It's supposed to be through the pineal gland. So that is why Ormi gold was so valued.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very
interesting. All the royalty of Egypt took it for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting.
And they painted themselves with gold.
Uh-huh.
Because they knew they would absorb it into their system.
Now, when we look at the substance, okay, this Ormi gold material, and I read quite a bit about it. You know, there's a lot of information on the internet.
And you have lots of
time. And the principle, okay, behind Ormi gold, this Ormi gold material. And first of all, you know, its atomic weight, it's much less than gold itself. It's about 40% less in weight than its counterpart in gold. So that when it's rearranged, when its structure is rearranged, you know, at the atomic level.
You lose 60% of it.
Well, you lose 40% of its weight.
Well, you just
it loses 40%. Right.
It was 40% as strong. Is it 60%?
So what that tells me, is that the material is highly diamagnetic, okay, and that's essential with our technology. What we're focused here on at Aurora Tech are highly diamagnetic materials, because the interesting property that this material has is that it radiates negative energy, rather than with a magnet, an ordinary magnet, radiating a lot of positive energy through its field, through its magnetic field. The magnetic field produced by this Ormi material, all right, it's negative energy. And first of all, you're not going to pick that up on any devices, except maybe crystals, okay, is what I was told. So you're not going to be able to detect the field from this strong, complex magnetic field component, which when you do the calculations, you find out, oh my God, this is negative energy. And that's what's being, that's the output of this Ormi gold material. And so what is that going to interact with? Well, it's going to interact with water. And this water is of course, the body is mainly 60%. An adult human body is about 60% water. And so that's what this ORME material is going to interact with, is the water that's in the body to structure the water, because water has memory. And you can also look this up on the internet. And that's what gets absorbed through your cells. Your cellular structure is going to absorb this conditioned, magnetically conditioned water, okay, from this ORME material.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, well, at KM that, you know, I've been promoting and getting to out to the people now for almost 25, 30 years now. That is, well, let's see, it'll be 30 years this year that I've been doing KM.
Mm-hmm.
Now, KM has electromagnetics in it.
That could very well be high in ORME materials, ORME elements.
Got electromagnetics in it that are so powerful that if you put a copper piece of wire around a light bulb and stick it in the bottle, it'll spark it.
Okay. It's a strong electrolyte.
Yes.
Which means that it's going to respond very well to our technology.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been conditioning that for a couple of months now.
The KM.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been drinking conditioned KM now for several months.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm feeling an effect from that, from KM.
Mm-hmm.
It's the activated KM now, you know, using our technology.
Well, the KM is powerful to begin with. So
right.
But
we can amp it up. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what we're doing with our tech.
Right.
Because I have it sitting on one of our pads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the negative energy is conditioning the water and the substances, okay, in KM, which is really, I think it's an activated KM.
A more activated, yes.
Right.
Now, interesting about our technology is that we're going to be able to offer the individual ones for charging up your groceries and things like you did the KM.
Right.
You're going to be able to use it for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Water, groceries.
Yes, yes. I have a product that we're going to be introducing, okay, that, and I'm very excited about this too. And that is the, you know, these water crocks, they're called. Okay, they can hold the 3-gallon water containers and the 5-gallon containers. So you have your water crock, you put your 5-gallon on top of it. Okay, and it fills up the 2.5 gallons of the water crock. Now, just below that is our technology, which is going to condition, magnetically condition that water. So I feel that's going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's taken us back to the old days here of the ancients being conditioned, okay, with this this white powder gold. It's taken us back to that era. So I think there's going to be very exciting times here. So when we launch these products, okay, it's going to be incredible, I feel.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting here. Mm-hmm. So we're reaching out to our listeners right now. If you know some big growers in the United States or Canada, they want to get plugged into this, let me know. And I'll turn them on to our technology. So it's really going to be something else as these growers start using it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it can reach the mass market here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is very interesting times we're going to be entering, okay, with our technology, Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing the water.
Mm-hmm. Plants.
Plants.
People with the pads.
People and animals with the pads.
Right. It can rejuvenate the animals, you know, people's pets that they love and adore.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them around maybe a few extra years.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can put the pad in their beds, you know, and the pet can sleep all night, you know, one of these energy pads.
Mm-hmm.
Get up the next morning fully energized. It's incredible. to have a jumpy, yappy pet around again.
That's right. They'll have to do it before its news article once you get your website up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, some articles on this.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, you can put the pad on your office chair, you know, your car seat.
Your airplane.
Yeah, yeah, even airplane rides.
Yeah.
You know, people get fatigued, you know, on long flights, especially overseas flights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take that long trip from, what is it, New York to Sydney, that they have direct flights or something, New York to Sydney. On those kind of flights, I mean, you're going to need, okay, our pad for that flight.
Well, that just keeps the Aussies away from us. That's why they're so far away.
Mm.
We don't want the IQ of Americans going down any further.
Yes. So we have very exciting times here coming up at Aurora Tech. And
New Year's Eve was quite exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, tell us about that, Aurora.
Well, we went to the Gatsby party in a mansion on Camelback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And 400 tickets were sold, and they locked out people after that. They wouldn't let any more in, thank God, right?
Right.
And we got there early, so it was no problem getting in easily and all that. And they had an open bar, which was readily accessible. People enjoyed that quite a bit. And they had DJs playing music all throughout the place. It was quite a big place, really big, actually. And they had a gal swinging from a swing up over our heads, doing her acrobats, scantily clothed, of course. Right? Little tintillation there. Did you like that, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you like
that? That's great.
And we had a giant on stilts, so about 30 feet tall. He was up there on his stilts, his 10-foot-high stilts or whatever. He looked like he was way up high. He was so high up. And then they had a midget that was less than 2 feet tall. Running around, he was perfectly formed, this guy. I mean, his body was just perfect. A perfect little midget running all around there with his little top hat on and everything. He still only came up to the middle of my thigh. He wasn't a very tall guy, but he was active, and he could drive his own car, too. Yeah, he had the valet pull up his car for him. Anyway, let's see, all the women were dressed, and a lot of them were dressed really elegantly in Gatsby clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And the men were all running around with they got cigars there of all kinds of flavors, and they were all puffing away on those, some of the guys, and stinking up the place pretty good. Let's see, what else? Oh, the food. We managed to sequester some food. And it was tasty, but hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't easily available. There was nobody passing trays, that's for sure. So it was a little rough in that regard, and the seating was hard to come by. You had to pay $3,000, $1,000 a sofa, and you had to buy three of them in a cluster in a U shape to be able to sit down. And so the tickets we bought just got us in the door and drinks and food. But if you wanted a seat, you're supposed to spend another $3,000 on a sofa cluster. So that was annoying. But so I wound up sitting there in the cigar bar, and God, thank God, the wind was blowing at my back and was blowing all the cigar smoke away from me. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here today.
Mm.
But I mean, I thought it rocked out pretty good, the party. The rain held off until after where it was over with, because we did have a deluge of rain around 2 a.m. So luckily we made it through it all without rain. And I think a lot of people had a good time. Would I do it again? I don't know. I might go to something a little less impersonal. That was kind of impersonal in some ways. I like it when I go in a party and I know half the people, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I was expecting to know a lot of the people from a couple of the groups we belong to, but they didn't really show up. So it was like just meeting new people all night, which was okay, but I couldn't get off the sofa because if I did, I'd never get my seat back.
Right.
So I was kind of stuck in there.
Uh-huh.
And that was the bummer for me, as I couldn't really run around the party, or I wouldn't have a seat, because I was definitely going to get my seat hijacked if I moved.
Right.
But I did meet some nice people. I had some pleasant little conversations and that kind of thing, you know. I think it was sweet that it was a Gatsby party, because it was a lot of, you know, lighthearted atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting some 1920s music, though.
Yeah, you were kind of bummed that they didn't need the venue.
Right.
More Gatsby-ish.
Right. And then there was no one there to do the countdown.
Yeah.
You know, to midnight. No.
Doing the countdown.
No.
Yeah, that was lame.
So we all had to kind of guess at it, you know?
Yeah, you couldn't come over the microphone, I guess.
I guess.
Well, I could have done. Next time I'll bring my own megaphone.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Okay.
Make sure that happens correctly. Anyway, so New Year's Day, we just kind of took it easy like the rest of the world. I saw La La Land with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I thought it was a really good flick.
Yes. It was about time we saw a movie that had no body count.
Exactly.
It was so...
No chase scenes.
It was refreshing, you know that? No chase scenes, no body count.
Yeah.
It was just so nice.
It was
an
upper.
Yeah, yes, it was.
It was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest everybody go see La La Land for the new year. I haven't seen Passengers yet, but it is my intention to see it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, if anybody's seen that, let me know if it's worthwhile. I'm hopeful, even though Arrival was absolutely not worth the time or money to see.
No, I was rather disappointed with that movie.
That was so lame.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Contact, mm-hmm. when they were just like going through space, breathing through half the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This was like waiting for the contact that turned out to be with a squid.
Did you like that part, Rory?
No, I didn't like that part at all.
Okay.
I mean, really. It was pretty sad.
Yes, it was.
And they would squirt ink to communicate. And you have to figure out what the blobby squirts were.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Stay on your own planet.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're here to help mankind. How are you going to help them?
Well,
with
they're not
ink blob.
Kind, they're squid kind.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't count.
What do they call that test with the ink blots?
Rorschach test.
Yeah, that's what the whole movie was.
Yeah.
I'd swear.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with that plot really was on some heavy meds.
Yeah. I felt like it came out of a university or something like that.
Just it was so,
you know,
lacking in emotion.
Ridiculous.
It was so lacking in emotion and in dialogue and anything uplifting.
Right.
Boring, as they would say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe La La Land will clue in the studios that people actually want to see something that's got a little bit of substance, a tiny bit.
Yeah.
That would be good. But as you said, there's no Gene Kelly in it.
No, Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly.
Right.
Yeah.
You have those guys out there maybe these days.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have some, though. There are a lot of good dancers out there nowadays, but they didn't make it into that movie.
No.
But it was a hoot.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rory, let's take a short break.
And when we come back, we've got a number of stories here to share. So So stay with us, folks. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to VNN, Vortex Network News. We're going to talk about some interesting articles that have showed up in the news.
Well, you know, I got a lecture coming up here, Aurora.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, in Texas.
Tell everybody about that in Texas. We're going to be in Texas.
Right. That's coming up in March.
Wow.
Yes, it's the AeroDef Manufacturing Expo and Conference. And I'll be giving a lecture on the March, it'll be March 7th at 3:15 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been invited to speak on our technology here at Aurora Tech. And in particular, it'll be on inertial and gravitational mass modification for faster-than-light deep space applications. Boy, is that a mouthful, huh? Yeah, so take that.
Now, what city is that going to be in?
It's going to be in Fort Worth, Texas, March 6th through the 9th. Fort Worth. So if any of our listeners out there are in the Texas area, be sure to stop by, come by. Yeah. And check us out there for the lecture on, I believe that is Wednesday, the 7th. March 7th, I think, is Wednesday. And check out my lecture. And it should be quite interesting, this.
Dr. Houdini puts together some awesome presentations.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be definitely turning some heads. There'll be a number of physicists there scratching their chins about this. Yes, very interesting. Because I know a number of our investors, or many of them are engineers, physicists.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Patent attorneys.
Right.
Got them.
We have them all on board here, and they're fascinated with our technology.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, you can actually see it here with the plants. Our amazing plant grow technology is this complex field that's interacting with the plants, and they just love it.
Can you imagine having a house with this technology built in? It would be really good for everybody.
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You can have it built into your water system. Boy, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Because you can not only drink this water, but also bathe in it.
Yeah.
That would be interesting, huh? So anyway, folks, yes, that's coming up in March, the first week in March, March the 7th.
And then we have our annual event in Albuquerque.
Right, that's coming up in July.
Mm-hmm.
I've been invited to speak there. That would be the Tom's Valone's Coffee Group. And I'm still working on something for Steve Ellswick's group.
Okay.
So I do plan to have that submitted soon. It'd be the physics of free energy.
Mm.
So free energy devices. So that should be quite interesting. Did you know I actually worked up this physics a little bit over 10 years ago? Oh, yeah. A little bit over 10 years ago.
And we've met.
I wrote a book on it, actually. You can see some of my work, my body of work there on my other website, intellect.com.
You're going to have to bring that book with you to the conference for purchase for people.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, make it into a booklet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea, Aurora. Brilliant. You're brilliant, Libby. Yeah, so, the conference is coming up first week in March. And we have the conference in Albuquerque coming up end of July. So it's a co-conference with Tom Valone's Coffee Group, which is a conference on future energy. And then, of course, Steve Ellswick's group, which is the Extraordinary Technology Conference. So both those conferences will
after
be going on.
After that conference, you'll have to take me to Florida, I hope.
Right.
After the July ones, I can go bathe in the 86-degree water there.
You know, we should sell them a water treatment system to enhance that effect there.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? That would be interesting to put our technology in that big pool they got there.
You mean hydroponics? Oh, you're talking about, never mind, you're talking about Florida?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I don't think so. Okay. So,
oh, don't be so quick to dismiss that, Aurora.
I think it's a pond, a pool. It's not. It's a pond.
Oh, don't be so quick to dismiss that.
It's not a pool. You're not jogging around a pool.
Uh-huh.
It's a pond.
Right. But I'm saying that we can embed our technology in the pond.
Okay.
After you buy to bio-enhance the effect.
It.
Yeah, after I buy it,
okay.
Aurora.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. And put our name on it.
Okay.
Aurora Tech, what is that place called?
Warm Mineral Springs.
Warm Mineral Springs by Aurora Tech.
I don't think so.
Something like that.
All right, Bill. Concentrate on the here and now. So let's get into some of the stories that came up.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Uber is very aggressive here. Uber, you know, the company where you call them up on their app, on your phone.
I don't know what Uber is. It's like a gas station.
Does everyone know what Uber is? If there's anyone out there that doesn't, please raise your hand. Okay. Well, we have some stories. You know that Uber app? There's an issue with the Uber app. And it says here the Uber customer in Philadelphia gets a surprise charge of $28,000. And it says here, what Uber has described as a glitch. Aurora, it's a glitch. And its computers led to a number of users being charged improperly in at least one case for more than $28,000, according to the ride-hauling app giant. Ride-hailing app giant. The company said that the glitch affected a handful of users and was a temporary problem. Of course, they're always temporary, right? Its engineers are working to ensure a similar glitch doesn't happen again, according to a statement from a San Francisco-based company. Did you know that Uber is moving to Arizona? Did you know that?
The headquarters?
Yeah, because San Fran shut them down, Uber. They don't want them. I think we got a story on that.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it says here that Uber typically puts an authorization hold on an account when a person orders a ride as a way to confirm the payment method. The glitch caused that authorization to be much larger than is normally charged.
You think?
Yeah.
That.
Well, something like this would be a math error. Okay.
I don't like to deal with companies that you can't get a hold of them when there's a problem.
Right. No, you would probably never talk to a person with Uber.
No.
You know, especially dealing with an app. I mean, how are you going to communicate an issue like this?
Well, I guess what you'd have to do is contact your bank immediately the moment you noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
And take it from there.
Right.
But, you know, that leads me to another subject, and that is, you know, identity theft, which is going on, which I've been a victim of. When I just went over to Ocean Club with one of my assistants a while back, a few years ago, It was about 9 years ago. I walked into Ocean Club, hadn't used this card in ages, 8 months and months, and decided to use it that night for a couple of drinks and a couple hors d'oeuvres. And when it was time to go, the gal took my card as normal, walked away, came back. and out we go. Well, the next day, there was a purchase from an electronics store in New Jersey on that card. Now, that card hadn't seen the light of day in months. So I knew it was that waitress. He had grabbed my number, swiped that card, told her buddy in New Jersey or made her the purchase herself with it. So what I'm saying is, you can be a victim of identity theft. And for that reason, I think everybody should have used two cards. And we probably have to open a second account just for those kind of transactions, because you just don't know when you're doing a little transaction if it's going to boomerang on you, come back, and wipe out your whole account. Somebody can wipe out your whole account afterwards. It's a little much to consider, but it does happen on a regular basis. So, I don't know. I think the answer is just to keep one account for those kind of transactions and another account that has more of your assets in it.
So here they say the company declined to say how many people were affected, but at least one Philadelphia woman who declined to be named said her bank flagged and blocked a charge from Uber for $28,639.14. The explanation of what happened was contradictory. Initially, the Philadelphia woman received an email from Uber stating her account was hacked. Really?
Well, that's really scary.
Yeah.
Doesn't make you want to use your credit card, does it, for cab rides?
Well, you know, what's really bothering me are, you know, Uber has a very aggressive research and development side. And that is, they're coming out with these self-driving cars. So the idea is to replace all the people out there that are earning an income from Uber using their car. All right. And so Uber plans to come out with a fleet, probably in every city, of self-driving cars. Now, I was just looking at a video of one of these Uber self-driving cars, and the guy doing the review, okay, sitting behind the wheel, because you can switch between Uber
manual.
Electronics and you, the driver.
Manual, yeah.
Yeah, manual control. Because if that map is not in the Uber system, then you have nothing left but manual control, okay, to complete the ride. But the issue there is that the guy doing the review, he was terrified to let go of the wheel.
I can imagine, really.
I mean, if there's any sort of an accident, potential accident there, I mean, he really doesn't want to go to the hospital, you know? I mean, that's what would happen in an Uber car.
You don't know what would happen in an Uber car if it goes rogue.
Yeah, right. So anyway, this Uber, there's another report here that's talking about Uber. And it says here, Uber sends self-driving cars to Arizona. So we're going to get them here.
It'll be so scary when you're driving down the street and you look over and there's no one in the car.
Yeah, it's going to be so weird, right? And then this article here, Uber sends self-driving cars to Arizona after failed San Francisco pilot. So their pilot program in San Francisco failed, and so they had to leave.
Well, I wonder what failed.
And so Doug Ducey, the governor, welcomed Uber with open hands, you know, saying, yeah, come on over to Arizona.
Where Cold Stone Creamery is.
Right. Where his company was Cold Stone, right?
Yeah.
Doug Ducey was the CEO of Cold Stone.
Yeah, you really
Creamery.
Want, you know, promote Americans to be fatter pigs than they already are. Let's come out with an ice cream company.
Okay, so Doug Ducey invited Uber to come to Arizona. So in this report here, which was published in the San Jose newspaper.
Have to ride around in a driverless car.
Yeah, yeah. He should drive around.
His whole family.
Yeah, right. That's a good point, Aurora. That's good thinking.
Yeah, I think when we have these officials who like to push these things on it, they should always try them first.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So here, the day after California regulators shut down Uber's self-driving car program in San Francisco, Uber on Thursday packed up its autonomous vehicles and hauled them to Arizona, vowing to resume testing there.
How about Sedona? Test them there. I think they should really test them in Flagstaff when I think about it, because the drivers there are treacherous.
Flagstaff?
Oh, yeah. All these guys on the reservation, you know?
Ah.
They come off the reservation, and then there's a military base up there, too.
Right.
And you got those people up there, and they're super aggressive on the road. I mean, you go to a Costco parking lot there in Flagstaff, you'll literally be taking your life in your hand.
Costco, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was in a Costco parking lot there in Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to live in Sedona, I'd go up there once in a while.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, aggressive? That's putting it mildly. You feel like you're at the Indy 5. Everybody's so busy jockeying into position. You think that they're going to get an award when they get to the, you know, street. Unbelievable. Never seen such aggressive drivers, even in New York City.
So I would like to see where they're going to do their testing then.
I think Flagstaff should be it.
Yeah. So here it says the move was a quick rebound by Uber after its pilot program in San Francisco fell apart after just 1 week.
Why did it fall apart?
Well, I think there were some issues there, Aurora.
Well, Google
with the
it.
Uber self-driving cars.
Well,
there were some issues.
Let's Google it and find out what they
yeah.
were.
So instead of giving in, so it says here, instead of giving in to California regulators and applying for a $150 permit to test its self-driving cars on public roads, Uber on Thursday once again signaled it doesn't need to play by its home state's rules. Our cars departed for Arizona this morning by truck, an Uber spokeswoman wrote in an email statement on Thursday. We'll be expanding our self-driving pilot there in the next few weeks. We're excited to have the support of Governor Ducey.
So there, take that. About all that.
Yeah.
Is, okay, let's say you're on a road here, and there's a lot of creatures here in Arizona, as we were just talking about today. We've got coyotes, bobcats, javelinas, bunny rabbits. We've got, you know, running around here like crazy. Hawks are coming down like crazy. It's the Wild West. Okay, so this is not exactly Rodeo Drive over here, okay, in Beverly Hills. This is a lot more wild. So let's say you're in North Scottsdale or, you know, the edge of the city. And even in the middle of the city, there's all these creatures I'm talking about. Okay, so let's say a bunny rabbit starts hopping across the road. Now, is that Uber car going to slam on its brakes for the bunny rabbit and maybe cause an accident with the car behind you? Okay, is the car behind you going to rear end you and knock you into oblivion and put you through the windshield because it stopped for a bunny rabbit? I mean, think about it. It's because you have to make a judgment when you're driving sometimes. Do I stop or do I go? What is going to be the, you know, best thing? And if you had a bunch of cars, you know, that were driving at a fast speed, 50 miles an hour is a common speed here in Scottsdale, 45, 50, 55. That's a common speed here. We have 50 mile an hour speed limits on a lot of city streets, like Scottsdale Road, for example. So when you get up the north area here, so let's say some small creature starts hopping across the road, starts running across the road, and your vehicle sees that as a threat and slams on its brakes. You're then hit from the rear by a car that's following closely behind you. I mean, and that person, let's say they're killed. Who's going to take the blame for that accident?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say the guy behind you slams into you and is dead. Because your Uber car slammed on its brakes. Okay, for a rabbit going across the street. Who is going to pick up the collateral damage on that, on those kind of issues? I just don't think it's really, I don't know, as sophisticated as a human being to be able to respond to those kind of intricate situations. Because you have to weigh the person behind you, how far away they are. You have to weigh how big of a threat it is, the object approaching. And if you can't do that accurately, it could be bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the cars behind you. If they're going 55 miles an hour on Scottsdale Road and your car brakes for a rabbit, then what?
Well, you can come up with all these weird scenarios.
It's not really weird, though. It's everyday life.
Weird, but practical.
It's everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope that these driverless cars don't kill people here on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Aren't the cause of death. It would be just horrific.
The other thing, too, is that, you know, you have a machine driving the car. And the question is, can that machine be taken over?
By another, by
let's say by
source.
CIA or NSA or something like that.
An outside
that.
Source.
Yeah.
And drive
by an outside source.
Override the software.
Right.
And take over the car.
Right.
And that's how some people think a multimillionaire in LA died.
Right.
Some kind of situation similar like that. His Tesla car was taken over.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's troubling, isn't it?
It is, to think that the software can be hacked by anybody who is sophisticated.
So here it says that Arizona Governor Doug Ducey on Thursday welcomed the self-driving Ubers to his state, where they will not need a special permit to drive on public roads, and position California's neighbor as a welcome alternative for Uber and other disruptive innovators.
Well, you know, that's all very cute. Just let's hope everything goes smoothly. Because if it doesn't, it's a disaster.
So it says here, Aurora, that while California puts the brakes on innovation and change with more bureaucracy and more regulation, Arizona's paving the way for new technology and new businesses, he
well,
wrote
crazy
in a statement.
Over there, over here, we let people go into bars with guns in them, guns in their pockets. You know, it's still a little bit of the Wild West attitude here in Arizona.
So here he says, California may not want you, but we do. So there you go.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how much we want them. And first time of a catastrophe, we'll see.
So here it says, Ducey last year signed an executive order supporting the testing and operation of self-driving cars and establishing a self-driving vehicle oversight committee to advise officials on how to advance the progress of autonomous vehicles. So self-driving cars are treated the same way as any other vehicle in Arizona. Arizona Department of Transportation spokesman wrote in an email statement.
I just don't think that's the way it should be.
Hmm.
I think that they should have special regulatory, you know, tests they have to pass.
You mean something like the FAA?
Well, yeah.
Except something for
these
autonomous vehicles.
Because, yes.
That's
because
a federal
program. Because how do you know how accurate
program.
The software is in each one? You
know?
Yeah. So, like, I would say, like, you'd lay out the cones, like you give people the test, and you'd tell, okay, park, do this, do that, you know, drive around this parking lot, you know, and see if it can avoid the cones, hitting the cones and all that. I would think would be a little bit more to it than just a regular car, but a little more to it.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that is the software certified. I mean, who's going to guarantee that software is working properly? Let's start there.
All right. Yes.
Whoever writes that software is taking a huge liability on.
Of course.
And whoever sells those cars or picks up a person for $2 an hour is taking a huge liability.
See, here they're saying, Aurora, that California has perhaps the most restrictive regime, and yet they've had 20 other companies register. So there's 20 other companies that have registered for their permits, you know, for these self-driving cars in California.
Well, that's so scary to think, Dr. Houdini, that these, you know how there's software glitches sometimes?
Well, of course. Absolutely.
To think your life is dependent on somebody's software.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little scary.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's no human there to compensate for a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's right.
Right.
That's why I'm going to let everyone else test it first. See how they're doing on the road.
Okay.
But what will people do for jobs in the future? Is everything, I guess, going to be... if everything becomes more and more automated as time goes on, you wonder what people are going to do for jobs.
Well, you know, that could all change, though. See, with Trump coming into power here. See, the problem is the tax structure, which drove business out of the United States. But the thing is that if you reverse that, okay, reverse that increased taxes, greatly lower the taxes, then you would start employing people again. Okay? It wouldn't be as crazy as it was. So you can start employing people. And so that huge rush to robotics could very well come to an end. Okay? Because people would be cheaper than robots.
Not really.
Yeah. That could come back. I think it's all tax structure dependent.
Well, there's some things robotics can't do that people can do. You know?
Oh, exactly. There's many, millions of things.
Mm-hmm. So that's one saving grace, I guess.
Yeah. But I think back to employing people, you know, with Trump, because that's his focus, is to bring back employment. Okay. What Obama is saying, what he just said just a week or two ago, is that everything's going towards robotics. Okay, robotics is going to replace the entire service industry. That's what he's basically saying.
Well, I'm sure you would like to see RoboCops on the street.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. But the thing is that I don't think that's going to happen because of Trump's policies. Okay, that he wants to bring back employment for people. So that could very well put a damper, you know, on this whole robotics push that's going on.
Well, I say this, if a robot can do it faster, more efficiently, let a robot do it. If it's a menial job of like, you know, doing the same motion over and over, repetitive motion causes damage to the human body. You can't do repetitive motion all day long. you know, and not wind up with damage to your joints and things. So I think robots are good for those kind of jobs, you know, but there'll always be jobs that humans are required to take the initiative on and to put that touch on, that human touch. So, you know, I guess there'll always be jobs. It'll just be a different type of jobs in the future. You're still going to need people to manage a restaurant and things like that, you know, and order the food and do all the things that you need to do and check it when it comes in to make sure it's just what you want and things like that. That all requires people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they, you know, like we were saying, this stage of technology is going to take us in a new direction. We can't even imagine what the world's going to look like in 40 years. Because look at it 40 years ago compared to now. I mean, what a huge difference. We didn't have little cell phones 50 years ago. 50 years ago, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have, you know, internet. Every time I wanted to do a lecture or a seminar, I had to print up hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of material. I had to then mail it for hundreds of dollars out to people. And it was just this huge expense every time I wanted to do an event. Nowadays, do a web page, do go in some blogs, tell some people about it, and, you know, there you go. You got a buzz going, right? So the whole world has changed a lot in 50 years, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like 50 years from now. It's going to be a big change. So I think Aurora Tech is going to bringing in the change with our technology. That's mm-hmm. what's going to be the, you know, the next new thing on the planet. We're the next new thing, the new kids on the block, I feel like. So those of you out there who would like to get involved with Aurora Tech, if you would like to be part of our team, if you would like to invest, we have dollar a share stock right now that we're winding up here before we go to sales. Once it's sales, we're going to be testing out our product here for the next few months with a number of growers, getting their feedback, and then we're going to be game on. And it's going to be so huge. And we're going to be doing our vitality pads here. With the, I got to contact these horse people as soon as you get the website finished and stuff, because they're only in season here for a few more months. And then they go up to Colorado and Montana with their horses for the summer. So I want to get in touch with them while they're in town for all the horse shows and everything. This is a huge horse town, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phoenix is big.
Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
The big horse town. And I mean, whoa, these people take it seriously. They really do. They really turn out for this horse stuff like you wouldn't believe. So when they get wind of our vitality pads, they're going to love it.
Mm-hmm. So oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I got to get moving with that. Are you going to set up my machine so I can get the girls over here soon?
I'm working on it.
Wow.
That's yes. Hard.
Take it out of the box, plug it in. Wow.
Oh, it's a little bit more than that, though, Aurora.
Well, you do have to.
And I got
to
set up the whole room for that. And I'm making very good progress.
It looks fabulous.
Yes, it does.
It looks like you're ready
mm-hmm.
to get it rocking and rolling.
Well, do you want to wind up the show here for this week?
Yeah, we've got a lot on our plate here and that we're taking on. So why don't we take it to 1 hour this week? And I want to tell all of you out there, thank you so much for your support in 2016. All of you who have invested with us, all of you who have taken this journey with us, we are so happy to have you along with us on this journey. And this journey is going to be a magnificent one for all of us. So we're quite excited. And if you want to be part of it and haven't jumped into it, find out more about what we're doing, please feel free to give me a call. That's what I'm here for. The number is 480-474-4388. That number again, 480-474-4388. And if you'd like a personal demo with Bill and talk to him and are interested in investing, I can arrange that. So make sure you give me a call. And if you have contacts with people who are growers or people who are in the technology field, that's a good reason to reach out with to us too, because that's what it's all about here. And in the health field for the Vitality Path, you know, people who have been involved in MLMs or distributors in the health industry, let me know about them too, because we're going to be connecting with those type of people as well. So it's, the door is wide open for so much to happen here this year. We're very excited and wish you all a wonderful year in 2017. Dr. Houdini, thank you so much for all you've done this year.
Well, thank you, Aurora. You've been incredible.
And so have you.
And amazing. Okay, folks, we'll be back next week.
Have a great
Stay
week.
Tuned. And Aurora, buckle yourself in. We're taking off. We'll see you next week, folks.
Have a great one.